Ramadan is like a rare flower that blossoms once a year, and just as you begin to smell its fragrance, it disappears for another year. So, respected listeners, enjoy this beautiful flower and let its beauty stay in your hearts even after it disappears, because next year we might not be alive to smell its fragrance. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to the special edition of Socially Speaking. Now, the month of Ramadan is upon us once again, alhamdulillah, and this month is truly a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a chance for us to make some positive changes in our lives. Now, we all have areas in our lives where we feel we can improve or make changes, either by cutting out on our bad habits or by introducing new goals and habits. Now, many Ramadans have come, many Ramadans have gone. Most of us have begun the month of Ramadan, as we always do, with well-intended goals. So we begin the month with great zeal and enthusiasm, and we set new goals. However, as the month ends, we get back into our usual routines. Our Ramadan habits also seem to fade away with time. Now, on Socially Speaking, for this blessed month of Ramadan, inshallah, we want to focus on positive and lasting change. And that's going to be happening for the next 4 Mondays in the month of Ramadan, inshallah. That's the first part of the program. A little later in the program, we'll be crossing over to KwaZulu-Natal with our weekly nasiha from Mulana Muhammad Venka, inshallah. Of course, Mulana will be sharing some nasiha or advice and some thoughts for us that will keep us inspired and motivated, inshallah, this Ramadan, inshallah. That is the year 1439. So, inshallah, I hope we have we're going to be speaking to our psychology major, honors student, and life coaching enthusiast, Sister Sakina, on making changes and, of course, also improving our lives this month of Ramadan and always. And for this week, we will be focusing on self-awareness, because change begins with self-awareness. And I hope we have Sister Sakina online with us.
Assalamu alaikum.
Sister Sakina. Wa
alaikum assalam. Jazakallah for having me.
Yes, Jazakallah for joining us this morning, and Ramadan Mubarak to you.
Same to you.
Okay, like we said, we're going to be talking about change and awareness of the self. So, Sister Sakina, without wasting much time, please tell us, what is self-awareness?
Okay, self-awareness is a very, very vast topic, so I'm not going to rush through. I've got a lot of information here. If we don't complete, then I think we can carry on next week, but for now, we'll see how far we can get. And as mentioned in the introduction, awareness is about noticing stuff in the world, right? But if you are self-aware, then that is about focusing on yourself. So you not only know things around the world, but you are able to be perceptive of your own emotions, your own reactions. It is your ability to notice your feelings, your physical sensations, your reactions, your habits, behaviors, and thoughts. For some people, this comes naturally, but for others, it's actually quite a struggle. And I'll give you an example of a person who might be very self-aware, very aware of the world around them. So they are clued up on news and current affairs, but yet they are totally clueless when it comes to self-awareness. So we find many examples of people like this. Yet self-awareness is an ancient concept. It actually stems from the beginning of time. The ancient Greeks used to say, know thyself. Until today, it is a quest which remains fundamental to any successful attempt to reach our full potential. So to break it down, there's quite a lot of points here. But in essence, what is self-awareness? It boils down to the simple questions like, who am I? What do I stand for? What do I want to achieve in my life? Have I set the relevant goals to achieve these things? What is my external environment like? Is it conducive to actually achieving these goals? For example, a lot of times a person will say, I want to lose weight. That's my goal. And you'll find that the external environment is not conducive to them losing weight. So their kitchen will still be stocked with unhealthy goodies. Their pantries will still be stocked. So the external environment has not been harnessed correctly in order to achieve this goal. Another question regarding self-awareness is, have I equipped myself with enough knowledge to embark on this journey? This is your internal environment. So the external environment is, you know, the area that you love, the people who surround you, your peers who are supporting you, that type of thing. But your internal environment is what is going on in my mind, my feelings, my knowledge. So have I equipped myself with enough knowledge? So, for example, you want to make these dietary changes, or you want to succeed in an organizational goal, you've got to then research and equip yourself with the relevant knowledge. Another question, are there habits holding me back? This is important. Is there something in my past that is holding me back? Have I gotten used to certain patterns as an adult? For example, am I forming relationships with the wrong people all the time? You know, sometimes we keep making friendships with people who are actually doing us more harm than good. Or do I begin an exercise program? And this happens quite a lot. Do I begin an exercise program only to give up a few weeks later? This happens with so many ladies, right? Then another example I can give is, I get paid at the end of the month. Do I go on a huge shopping spree? And is this now a pattern in my, you know, with my finances, that I blow all my money when I get paid, and then for the rest of the month I can't meet my budget goals? Or another example of a pattern is lashing out in anger from time to time. So the people that you live with get, you know, bear the brunt of your anger outbursts from time to time, and it's become a pattern in your, you know, in your adult life, which you may or may not understand. So that is, you know, self-awareness. And most of these adult habits have their origins. Usually we are stuck in patterns that once used to be useful. So maybe as a child you used to behave in a certain way because that protected you in those circumstances. But now as an adult, times have changed, things are different in your situation, and those old habits are no longer serving you. But remember that these old habits die hard. It's not easy to just make a change and become self-aware overnight. For many people, no one is a bigger puzzle to understand than themselves. Actually, some people find themselves so difficult to understand. For example, why do we sometimes feel happy for no reason? Or sometimes we feel sad. All of a sudden, we don't understand where these sad feelings are coming from. Or why do we spend 5 minutes in the company of someone and then suddenly feel energized by this person, we feel happy around this person? Or on the flip side, we can spend 5 minutes in the company of someone else and feel quite the opposite. Why do we, sometimes the most stable of adults can erupt with irrational behavior, which is uncharacteristic of them. So why do these things happen? Sometimes these things baffle us, you know, about ourselves. Sometimes we say something like, we catch ourselves saying something like, oh gosh, I sounded just like my mother when I said that, or I sounded just like my father when I said that. So these are certain things that maybe play on our minds and we don't really understand about ourselves. Another thing is maybe we make an assumption that a certain person doesn't like us. Every time they see us, they seem to avoid us. They walk away, or and we don't understand this. You know, it's baffling to us. First of all, is this assumption a correct? Are you perceiving the situation correctly, or is it just an assumption? So there are many, many facets to self-awareness, as you can see. It's very, very vast, but that basically answers it in quite a general way.
Yes, certainly. Now, so then how would self-awareness actually be linked to change then?
Well, if you put it simply, if you do not know thyself, as the ancient Greeks used to say, you are missing the fundamental block to any successful attempt at change, positive change we are talking about here. A person may be in a rut, so to speak, and possibly may have distorted patterns of thinking. For example, overgeneralization. Now, this is a psychological term, but basically what it means is that a student performs badly on one exam, it's just an example, and now all of a sudden the student believes that this is proof for his overall worthlessness and general stupidity, you know. That's called over generalization. or a project at work is not successful, and the worker now blames himself entirely for the project's failure, even though there were many, many people who were working on the team. So it actually makes no rational sense for him to blame himself, but this is a distorted pattern of thinking. And a person may be in the habit of filtering, and this is a big one, which is taking the negative details and magnifying them while filtering out the positive aspects. And often this happens in an unstable marriage, where the wife will take the negative aspects of her husband, totally magnify them, and then filter out the positive aspects, like they're not even there. They just kind of slip through, and we take these negative aspects of him, and all of a sudden it seems to be looming large over us, and we can't seem to see anything good in the man except the negatives. So this is called filtering, which is also another, it's an unhealthy habit. It's a distorted way of thinking. And another distorted way of thinking is making assumptions about others. So you get people who, they just know why people behave the way they do. We know how they are feeling. We make ourselves experts and analysts of other people's thoughts and actions. Now, how is this linked to self-awareness? Let's just bring it back to self-awareness. Often, we are oblivious to these distorted patterns of thinking that we may have. We have become so used to thinking in a certain way out of habit. And this is shaping our daily attitudes and behavior. Sometimes a person is unaware, and at other times it may have been brought to their attention, but they live in a state of denial. Mm. That's another blockage. If a person is in denial, then that's blocking, obviously, their positive steps to change. So self-awareness is key to change. Because how can a person change if they have no idea that their thought patterns are holding them back?
Most certainly. And, I think we'll just carry on with the last truth here before we end off today. But maybe you can share with us, or just explain to us, what are the signs that a person is self-aware, and perhaps also some of the signs that a person is not self-aware?
Okay, let's see if we're going to be able to get through all of them, but you can stop me if we run out of time. We can continue next week, inshallah. Yes. But basic signs that a person is self-aware is that the person is realistic, they are honest, and they are open. They have an open assessment of their own strengths and limitations. So, for example, you don't catastrophize your failings at the one extreme, and neither do you overestimate your competency at the other extreme. So, for example, a child, your child is rude to you in public. Your child is rude to you in public. You, and this mother feels totally worthless as a mother. But, she's totally catastrophizing it. She's blowing it out of proportion. It's one isolated incident, but it's affecting her so badly emotionally. And then another example is you decide you're fully capable of single-handedly hosting a dinner for 100 people on Eid night, and you are not accepting any help from anybody. So now that's obviously overestimating your competency, and that's another extreme of it. So a realistic, honest, and open, a person who has an open assessment of their strengths and limitations, that's the first sign that this person is self-aware. The second sign is that the person has the ability to describe their own mistakes by accurately identifying where they had mistaken perceptions and misinterpreted information. So to give you an example, to make it simple, you understand yourself so well that you can identify your own internal processes, your thoughts, your feelings, your perceptions that led to that mistake. So you can look back on an incident and you can say, actually, I don't think he was meaning it in that way. The reason why I perceived it in that way is because of such and such an incident that had happened to me a few years back, and I'm taking on those emotions in this case. So you are able to understand your own thought patterns and see where it takes you and see how you can misinterpret information, and then you are able to accurately identify that, and more importantly, own up to your mistake. So you're not in denial. You understand where you could have gone wrong, and you own it, basically owning it, owning your strengths and your weaknesses. And then the third sign is the ability to laugh at oneself. This is important because it shows you have a mature awareness of yourself. You can laugh at yourself. You don't take yourself so seriously. often those people that take themselves so seriously are the ones who are often defensive. And that is a sign of lack of self-awareness. So, you know, you have the two sides here. And another very strong sign of someone who is self-aware is someone who does not get swept away, you know, by the drama of a situation. A person who has the ability to stop, step out of the picture, which is essentially stepping away from your emotions, trying to weigh up the situation, thinking first, and then responding. So a person who is not reacting immediately, and then thinking later, and then regretting their reactions. So this is a sign of a person who is self-aware, where you are able to step out of the box, step out of the picture, leave your emotions aside, and see the situation for what it really is.
Sister Gina, unfortunately, I think we'll have to leave it at that because we have a good few adverts that has to go out right now. But inshallah, okay. I think we can continue next week, and I'm sure we'll be having a lot to say. You'll be sharing a lot of information with us again. But Jazakallah, a very, very interesting talk. We hope to have with you with us next week again, inshallah, at the same time.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. Just before you go, Sister Sakina, you are a coaching enthusiast. Can you just briefly tell us, you know, if people are interested in wanting to know more about you or, you know, about your coaching, please, can you give us any information with regards to it?
Okay, at the moment, they can follow me on Instagram, which is at Life Coaching with Sakina. That's the page they need to go to. And this is this will just give you some idea of the kind of information that I'm dealing with and, you know, the type of issues that we help with. Inshallah, from July, I'll be able to start personally coaching, and I won't limit it to just Johannesburg. It will be coaching all over the country or world, because we can do online meetings and that type of thing. So don't feel that if you're not based in Johannesburg, you won't be able to access me as a life coach. That will happen from July, inshallah. But if you follow my Life Coaching with Sakina page on Instagram, then you will be up to date with information about when and all the necessary information you need about life coaching, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair. And we hope to speak to you again, inshallah, next week. Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, we take a break right now. When we return, inshallah, we'll be speaking to Maulana Muhammad Venker with his weekly nasiha. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. While we're waiting to get hold of Maulana Muhammad Venker, I'd like to share with you a beautiful attribute of Allah and how to live by this beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Now, as we all know, our theme for this month of Ramadan is Asma'ul Husna. In the Holy Quran, in chapter 7, verse 180, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the most beautiful names belong to Allah, so call on Him by them. The attribute that I'm sharing with you today is called Al-Khaliq. He is the creator and He is the planner. Now, what does this mean? Al-Khaliq is the one who determines and He creates according to the proper measure and proportion of each thing. The one who plans and determines how, when, and where to create. Allah is the one whose works are perfectly suited, appropriate, fitting, and proper. The one who creates something from nothing. The one who creates both the inner and the outer in just proportions. Allah, Al-Khaliq, is the one who brings things into existence from a state of non-existence. The one who has the power to change things back and forth between the states of existing and non-existing. Al-Khaliq created everything out of nothing, with no precedence and for purposes only known to Him. Allah is the creator of everything. He is the guardian over everything. To Him belongs the creation of the heavens and the earth. And how to live by this beautiful name of Allah. Be happy with your appearance. Remember that you have been created by the perfect creator who does not err in his creation. So accept yourself just as you are. You are his beautiful creation no matter what others say. Do not make fun of others' appearances. Al-Khaliq has created them. And remind yourself that he is the perfect creator. Appreciate the numerous beautiful creations of Allah Al-Khaliq. He has surrounded us with such oh, so much beauty to make life pleasant and praise Him often. And there's this one dua that we should always be reading. Allahumma anta hassanta khalqi fahassin khuluqi. O Allah, just as you have created me externally beautiful, make my character beautiful as well internally. Well, we have Mulana on the line. Assalamu alaikum, Mulana. Jazakallahu khair for joining us this morning.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sister, and assalamu alaikum to the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam. Barakallahu feekum. And it's good to speak to you in this blessed month of Ramadan, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah. Ramadan, Mubarak to you and your family. And Mulana, what advices or what nasiha do you have for us today?
Barakallahu feekum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Respected listeners, being the blessed month of Ramadan, wallahi, it's an absolutely amazing, amazing month. You can feel the sense of spirituality in our homes, in the massages, you know, the environment as such. You know, you can feel that spirituality. It's the blessedness of this blessed month of Ramadan. Wallahi, we are ordinary mortals. We cannot add any greatness to this month. This month is exalted by its, you know, by Allah Himself. Shahr Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Qur'an. Through the barakah of Qur'an and through the barakah of Qiyam and charity and all the acts of nobility, mashallah. You know, we can find that, you know, people are closely linked to Allah, mashallah. But what tends to happen is that as Ramadan goes, you know, the fervor, the desire is there to worship Allah. But once 1 week goes, perhaps 10, 15 days, then we find that complacency tends to set in. And then we become complacent and, you know, we tend to, you know, we forget, the focus is lost. And then towards the latter part of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, we find once again, we get back into our routine, into our schedule of Ramadan. And then the day of Eid, and then we are, you know, we're back to our normal selves. So Ramadan, we need to keep the momentum going. We need to keep the foot on the pedal and continue. We need to accelerate our efforts, inshallah. So this is Ramadan. What is Ramadan? This is the month of Tawbah. I think the question that we need to ask ourselves is, you know, the month of Ramadan, the month of Quran, you know, to what extent have we attached ourselves to the Quran Kareem? We find in our masajid, alhamdulillah, you know, the masjids in the first few nights are full to capacity. But give it 5-6 nights, then we find that the subs from 10, they become 9, 9 becomes 8, and then you will find that it becomes 3 or 4 subs. You know, till the last few nights of Ramadan. You know, why is it the case? Allah is asking, Allah says, I've given you 11 months. 1 month I want you to turn to me. You know, 1 hour to stand in Taraweeh is asking too much. Respected listeners, subhanAllah, Allah has blessed us with this amazing Quran. Amazing Quran. You know, how much have we attached ourselves to the Kalam of Allah? How much have we attached ourselves to Quran al-Kareem? You know, one is the recitation of Quran. You know, we need to make a concerted effort to improve in our tilawa, in our recitation, in terms of our tajweed, the pronunciation of, you know, the letters of Quran, number one. Number two, make an effort, inshallah, you know, to understand the message of Quran. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Allah Ta'ala says that why don't you reflect? Why don't you ponder over the words of Quran? You know, we are competent scholars, we are competent ulama. MashaAllah, we need to sit and benefit from the discourses, you know, from the books of the tafsir that have been translated into the English language, which is, you know, understandable, which is, you know, which appeals to, you know, the modern day mind, MashaAllah. So we need to understand what is the message, you know, of Quran. And number three, I think very, very important is that in terms of our health, you know, those surahs that we memorize, you know, some of us, when we went to madrasa, perhaps 40, 50, maybe 20 years ago, we learned certain surahs of Quran al-Kareem, and many people have forgotten what they had learned at that time. This is one of the greatest sins, so Ramadan is an ideal opportunity for us to, you know, to memorize the Quran al-Kareem. I mean, we've got the next, inshallah, 25 days of Ramadan. Make this intention, I will memorize one verse every day of Ramadan. You know, one verse every day of Ramadan. And it's not something which is difficult. We need to be positive. We need to have a positive mind. And who knows, inshallah, let Ramadan be a start. And after Ramadan, we should make this intention that we will recite a portion of Quran al-Kareem on a daily basis. And this is what the Quran demands from us. وقال الرسول يا ربي إن قومي اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. One of the complaints of the Quran would be on Qiyamah Day that people had abandoned the Quran. People had abandoned the Quran. What do we do some odd occasion, big night, when someone passes away, then we recite certain portions of Quran. But this should be part and parcel of our daily lives. Every day, let us recite, you know, some portion of Quran al-Kareem. Ramadan is an ideal opportunity. It's there to discipline ourselves. Ramadan is there to discipline ourselves. Subhanallah. You know, if we cannot discipline ourselves in Ramadan, like the ulama Mujaddid al-Fathani has given an amazing example. He said in Ramadan, those things that are halal have been made impermissible. Eating, drinking, you know, being with one's wife. Normally outside Ramadan is permissible, but in Ramadan it's been made impermissible. So that which is permissible is made impermissible in Ramadan. Can we well imagine the crime and the sin of those things that are permanently impermissible? The misuse of the tongue, the misuse of the eyes, you know, riba, backbiting. According to one narration, one person passed away. He stood up before the Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala told him, flip through your pages of deeds. He said, oh my Allah, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. I passed through an entire Ramadan. I don't find it to my credit. Allah Ta'ala will tell him, yes, yes, you fasted one entire month of Ramadan, but because you used to backbite about people, I have omitted the fast of Ramadan. So we need to be very careful what tends to happen. You know, like we say that the fast has got to you. So, you know, the fast is so short. We look at other parts of the world, in the United Kingdom. In fact, I had seen, you know, the other day, that Sehri, you know, people stop Sehri at 1:30 in the morning. And Iftar is at 9:30 p.m. in the evening. You know, what do we have to complain? Allah has made it so easy. The days are so short. You know, why should we be complaining? Let us capitalize on this opportunity. You know, we have certain ambitions in Ramadan, you know, in terms of our dua, especially at the time of Iftar, at the time of Suhoor. MashaAllah, we are getting at the time of Sehri. What a blessed act of nobility. So continue filling your reserves. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ إِنَّ لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. Allah Ta'ala says, continue filling your reserves. Accelerate your efforts. Don't take that foot off that pedal. Let us continue, inshallah. In terms, let us have certain targets. How much of Quran have we recited? Let us at least, the bare minimum, our target would be, this Ramadan, I will complete one khatam of Quran. That's the bare minimum. That is the target. You know, but inshallah, we should try and read more than that, you know, if we can. But we need to have a schedule. You know, dedicate, devote an hour or two towards the tilawat of Quran. The last few moments before Salatul Maghrib, before we break our fast, let us engage in dua. These are moments where duas are accepted. And at the same time, let us not forget, you know, those who are suffering in different parts of the world, especially in Palestine. You know, we have seen the footage. We all know what is going on. You know, we see footage. It makes us cry. I guess it will make every human being cry. But what we can do, the bare minimum that we can do, we can pick up our hands and make dua, you know, for those who are suffering in different parts of the world, especially in the land, you know, Palestine. So respected listener, inshallah, we make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah grant us the tawfiq and the ability, you know, that let this Ramadan be a change. You know, this is what Allah wants from us, the Quran. Let us become, study the Quran. You know, become ambassadors of this beautiful deen. In terms of our charity, the truth that we are doing in Ramadan, let us continue with the good, inshallah. You know, it will benefit us, not only in this world, but we will see the everlasting benefit, you know, in Akhirah.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair, Mawlana, for those wonderful words of advice. And inshallah, hopefully this will keep us motivated during the month of Ramadan, inshallah. And we will speak to you next week again, and inshallah you will share with us some wonderful nasiha again. Jazakallah khair, Mawlana.
Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay. Wa alaikum salam. Well, that's it for today. And once again, I would like to take this opportunity to wish everyone a blessed and spiritually uplifting Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.